U.S. intelligence reports show targeted assassinations are among the threats authorities are tracking ahead of the presidential inauguration. Afghan police say that gunmen have killed two female Supreme Court judges in Kabul, the latest in a string of targeted killings in that country. And critics say the European Union's coronavirus vaccine rollout strategy lacks transparency. We'll have a report from Brussels. Good to have you with us. U.S. intelligence reports gathered from social media platforms suggest that authorities are tracking thousands of threats against politicians prior to the presidential inauguration. Online threats include calls for assassinating Democratic lawmakers, building improvised explosive devices, and using sniper rifles to kill law enforcement officers around the Capitol. This has prompted security forces to gear up for a series of demonstrations and potential violence in D.C. and at state capitals. Security measures are being taken ahead of a planned million militia march in Washington by supporters of the outgoing president on the 20th of January. On Saturday, a man with a loaded handgun and more than 500 rounds of ammunition was arrested at a security post in that area. I talked to political commentator Alexander Azadegan, and he believes that Trump supporters are resorting to violence to terrorize people.
Online chatter, there's a lot of keyboard bravados, a lot of keyboard cowards, really, and they're trying to terrorize the people. Let's not forget the definition of terrorism is violence being pursued for political goals. We have censorship that's coming on social media. We have an information ecosystem that doesn't have any gatekeepers anymore, and the gatekeepers who are playing that role right now are they're censoring things that should not be censored. I was reading Voltaire today, and this sentence just jumped out, which said, "Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." QAnon now has a member of Congress on its side. This woman named Marjorie Taylor Greene, who says on the second day of President-elect Biden's tenure, she's preparing articles of impeachment. Congress should consider censoring these people.
A top aide to the U.S. president-elect says that Joe Biden will sign around a dozen executive orders on his first day in office. The chief of the staff, Ron Klain, says the executive orders would address the COVID pandemic, the U.S. ailing economy, climate change, and racial injustice in America, adding that those crises demand an urgent action. Klain says that Biden will take decisive steps to address those challenges, prevent other urgent and irreversible harms, and restore America's place in the world. He noted that Biden will sign up orders, including ones for the United States to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord and reverse his predecessor's ban on the entry of people from certain Muslim-majority countries. Unidentified gunmen have killed two female judges working for the Supreme Court in the Afghan capital. Police say that two armed men opened fire on a vehicle carrying the employees of the Supreme Court during morning rush hour in northern Kabul. The driver and another employee were injured in a shooting. No group has claimed responsibility for that attack. That's the latest in a string of targeted killings in the war-ravaged country. President Ashraf Ghani has condemned the attack, saying that terror and violence are not the solutions to the problem. Violence has surged across the country in recent months, especially in Kabul. The Sunday bloodshed comes as the Afghan government and Taliban negotiators are set to resume their peace talks in Doha. Demi Nalami earlier joined us from Kabul and provided us with some details about the assassination of the two female Supreme Court judges.
This recent incident happened in Taimani area of Police District 10th in north part of Kabul. Interior Ministry later on the day confirmed that two female judges who were working for the Afghan Supreme Court were the target of this assassination, and both of them were killed. The rising insecurity, mainly bomb blasts and targeted killings, have been widely denounced by not only the Afghan government, but also by many local rights bodies and even international rights bodies, particularly the UN. The Afghan government says launching such attacks, mainly expanding targeted killings, is after highlighting the weakness of the Afghan government, mainly the military wings and security and intelligence wings of the Afghan government. But top governmental officials here in Kabul have repeatedly stressed that they are doing their best to win the minds of the people in order to make a united front in order to bring peace and stability in this country via backing an ongoing peace talks in the Qatari capital Doha between the representatives of the Afghan government and the Taliban delegation there.
Well, we also have a couple of news items regarding the COVID situation. France's cumulative death toll has risen past 70,000, while fatalities from the virus shattering records across the continent. France also reported 21,000 new cases, raising the total to 2,894,000. Officials have imposed a curfew from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. in an attempt to curb the spread of the Delta virus. Also, anyone traveling to France from outside the EU will have to show a negative COVID test and self-isolate for a week upon arrival. In Britain, 1,300 more people died of the virus in one day, the third highest on record. 88,000 COVID deaths have been recorded out of more than 3.3 million confirmed cases. In the EU, the health experts are saying that new strains of COVID-19 underline the need to speed up the 27-block vaccination program, and critics say that the EU's vaccine rollout lacks transparency. Our correspondent in Brussels has the story.
Health systems in the EU are buckling under pressure from new coronavirus cases resulting from the holiday period. New variants are raising concern. Businesses remain closed. These have been identified as major challenges for the Portuguese government, which has just taken over the rotating presidency of the EU.
One of the first priorities is vaccination. Vaccination is the light at the end of the tunnel of this pandemic.
Critics say vaccination should currently be the only priority for EU authorities. The UK is approving jabs weeks ahead of the 27-country bloc. Secrecy surrounds the number of vaccines going to each EU nation and how many people have so far received the jab. The European Commission says it is working with the European Centre for Disease Control to set up an information website. And that cannot happen soon enough because a major criticism of the vaccination programme in the EU relates to a lack of data. It is simply impossible to scrutinise or compare the performances of member states. We have been talking to EU citizens in Brussels about the speed of the vaccines rollout.
My father is 76. I don't know where it will be for him. It will be maybe in 4 or 5 months. It's quite slow.
It's not easy, yeah. It's too slow. I think the priorities are not the best one.
Trying to understand why it's so slow in EU. I don't know, maybe we need more testing to be sure of the vaccine.
Me, I really want to live like a normal person, like you, like the way we did. So if I have to be vaccinated, I will be vaccinated.
Cracks continue to appear within the EU's unity as countries move to secure vaccines independently of the European Commission. Adding to the woes is news that production of the Pfizer vaccine is being temporarily delayed. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
In other news, the Iranian foreign minister has criticized the European signatories to the 2015 nuclear agreement for failing to fulfill their obligations. Mohammad Javad Zarif says the accord is alive only because of Iran's efforts.
E3 leaders, who rely on the signature of OFAC functionaries to carry out their obligations under the JCPOA, have done zilch to maintain the JCPOA. Remember Emmanuel Macron's stillborn initiative? Or UK non-payment of court-ordered debt? The JCPOA is alive because of Iran, and not E3.
Now, Zarif made those comments after his French counterpart Jean-Yves Le Drian boasted about the efforts of France, the UK, and Germany to save the deal. Tehran has time and again criticized the trio for failing to compensate for the U.S. withdrawal from the nuclear deal. Washington pulled out of the accord in 2018, reinstating sanctions on Iran that pushed the country to reduce its nuclear commitments, but Tehran is saying that the measures are reversible if other parties fulfill their own obligations. Iran has held military exercises in the central parts of the country. The latest drill was held by the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps. During the drills, missiles and bomber drones were fired, and that aligned with Iran's policy to enhance deterrence in the face of threats, especially those by the U.S. and Israel.
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has held a two-day drill in central Iran. During the massive military exercises, the IRGC targeted and destroyed the Mach enemy vessels in the Indian Ocean with long-range ballistic missiles. The first stage of the large-scale military exercise, codenamed the Great Prophet 15, kicked off on Friday. IRGC units launched a barrage of surface-to-surface ballistic missiles, which were followed by operations by offensive bomber drones. The missiles, equipped with detachable warheads, are guided from outer space and are able to penetrate into the enemy's missile shield. On the second day of the drills, the IRGC's missiles detected and destroyed the targets as they were sailing 1,800 kilometers away in a remote area in the ocean. A mixed attack involving a new generation of surface-to-surface ballistic missiles and drones was carried out, and all designated targets were destroyed with pinpoint accuracy. The mocked strikes were launched with the presence of the chairman of the Chief of Staff of the Iranian Armed Forces, Major General Mohammad Bagheri, who said that Iran does not intend to attack any country. However, he said the country's armed forces will respond with all might in the shortest time if any adversary had malicious intentions toward the Islamic Republic.
Choosing a barrage of long-range missiles against naval targets illustrates that if the enemies of the Islamic Republic have ill intentions against our national interests, maritime trade routes and territory, they will come under missile strike and will be destroyed.
Donald Trump had attempted through his sanctions to withdraw the JCPOA to weaken Iran. This has not happened, and these exercises certainly demonstrate that. He had wanted Iran in a position that any of those countries, the United States, Israel, or Saudi Arabia, could successfully invade and attack and conquer Iran. But by these exercises, military exercises that have recently been held, Iran has demonstrated that these sanctions have failed, that Iran remains a strong, powerful country dedicated to protecting its people, assisting its allies, and will certainly not surrender or give in to or be vulnerable to attack by its enemies.
The IRGC military exercises started shortly after the Iranian Navy finished its naval drills in the country's strategic southern waters. The drills are aimed at boosting the preparation and military prowess of the country's armed forces.
Iran has always maintained a defense posture, but said it's ready to respond with all-out force if its territory may come under attack. The country has said that the main goal of the military exercises is to promote sustainable peace and security. It says the exercises also aim to show the power of the Iranian nation and its scientists to exert regional forces present in the Persian Gulf region. And this all occurs during a time when tensions have remained high between the United States and Iran since 2018. Last week, Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps unveiled what it called a strategic underground missile city along the Persian Gulf coast in the south. The IRGC said that the city is one of, quote, many such missile installations. Now, this is seen as meaning to send a strong message to any war plans the U.S., Israel, or their allies may have.
IRGC military exercise came after Iranian Navy's drills codenamed Ehtedar-e-Daryayi 99. The two-day drills were held in the Sea of Oman and the Persian Gulf. A week prior to that, Iran held a massive drone maneuver across half of the country. These drills were launched amid heightened tensions between Iran and the U.S. in the final days of Donald Trump's presidency. Tensions have been simmering between the two countries in the past couple of months as the U.S. increases military presence in the region.
These exercises, I think, have been very important strategically for Iran in relation to the United States because they have demonstrated, as I mentioned earlier, that the sanctions have not worked. So it is in the United States government under Joe Biden, it's in the U.S. government's interest to respect Iran, to re-enter the JCPOA, and to deal with Iran as another global citizen, trading with it, allowing trade with other countries, and working with it in a peaceful manner. These exercises have been a show of strength.
Last month, two U.S. B-52 bombers flew over the region. The move marked Washington's third dispatch of nuclear-capable bombers to the region in less than 2 months. The U.S. Navy had earlier announced the arrival of a nuclear-powered submarine in the Persian Gulf. The USS Georgia passed the Strait of Hormuz accompanied by two American warships, making it the first missile-loaded submarine of its kind to enter the region in 8 years. Analysts say these moves can signal Trump's intentions for triggering a conflict with Iran in his final days in office in order to distract attention from a string of failures in the past couple months. Many others say the outgoing U.S. president is simply seeking to complicate his successor's plans and coming back to the negotiating table with Iran over the nuclear deal. They say the U.S. president could be thinking about saddling President-elect Biden with some kind of military operation which could damage his efforts to come back to the JCPOA. Iran has time and again said its missile program is strictly for defensive purposes. However, Tehran says it will respond to any hostile action with a strong attack and maximum power.
The U.S. Space Agency's launch system has hit a snag as NASA cut short its first test of a massive moon rocket earlier than planned. The test of the space launch system was expected to last 8 minutes, but the engines shut down just about a minute into the burn. There was no word on what went wrong, but the agency said that teams are assessing the data to determine the cause. The test was cut short, but the space agency in a tweet said it was still useful and provided valuable information for the planned mission. The rocket is intended to launch the Artemis 3 mission that will take astronauts to the moon by 2024. Now, Mexico has recorded its deadliest coronavirus week yet, with over 7,000 fatalities. Government data indicating there were 1,200 fatalities on Saturday alone, pushing the total to 140,000. The country logged a record number of 20,500 new infections, and the caseload has reached 1.6 million. Elsewhere in the Americas, Brazil registered 1,000 new deaths for the fifth day in a row, raising the tally there to 210,000. The country has the world's second largest number of COVID fatalities after the U.S. The United States is the worst hit nation by the pandemic, over 23.7 million cases, 395,000 deaths. That's a wrap for this broadcast.
This is the Heart of Life pounding IRIB English Radio.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, January 17th, 2021. I'm Atefer Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So, dear listeners, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or, if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And here I do express my deepest condolences on the tragic martyrdom anniversary of the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Dear listeners, please stay with us until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report normally will be receiving a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. However, these days, as you know, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material, including paper QSL cards and souvenirs, on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Hasna from India, G. Hojbens from Belgium, and M. Abdurraza from Bangladesh. Dear listeners, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And also a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including Igor Kolke from Russia. Igor Kolke is one of our regular listeners. Also, Yari Kerhonen, one of our regular listeners from Finland, has sent us an email. We have an email from Sweden. This email is from Olmar Kovic. And João Carlos El Caputo from Brazil has sent us an email. And Patrick Travers from England also has sent us an email. Many thanks. Dear listeners, please stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I start, first of all, with an email from Igor Kolke. Igor Kolke is one of our regular listeners from Russia. Igor Kolke says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a shortwave radio listener from Moscow, Russia, and I'm currently having a great pleasure of listening to your broadcast. I very much hope it is possible for you to verify this reception report by issuing a QSL card. Thank you for your excellent broadcast today. I really enjoyed it, and I hope to hear from you soon. and would love to receive a QSL card from you to add to my collection. Salam and greetings to you, Igor Kolke from Russia, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We're glad that you enjoyed our broadcast, as you said. It was excellent. Much pleasure, Igor Kolke from Russia. And as for your request about sending paper QSL cards, as I've said before, this tradition, I mean, sending any item, including paper QSL cards, on behalf of IRB English Radio, has been temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. Of course, we will get back on track after this disease is controlled over the world, and this tradition will start as soon as possible after the hygienic protocols are removed. We wish you all the best, Igor Koke from Russia. Write to us soon. Also from Finland, we have an email from Jari Korhonen. Jari Korhonen is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello from Finland. I was able to hear the signal of IRIB English Radio from Iran at 12 to 13 Tehran time. The signal was poor to fair for a while, but the station faded out soon after it had given the station identification. I enclose MP3 clips about the reception. It would be a pleasure to receive a verification from you." And salam and greetings to you, Jari Korhonen from Finland. And many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. It seems that you had the trouble with the signal, but don't worry about that problem, because we inform our engineers about that trouble as soon as possible. And as I have said before, our effort in IRIB English Radio is and has been providing our dear listeners around the world with the best quality of broadcast. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back from Brazil. We have an email from João Carlos L. Caputo. João Carlos is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello, dear friends. My name is João. I am a Brazilian shortwave listener and DXer. My station is located in Brazil in the city of Curitiba. I'm sending a reception report via email. If there is another email to send my report, please let me know. I would be happy if I can receive a QSL card to confirm my reception. Thank you so much, and best regards from your listener in Brazil." Salam, João Carlos Caputo from Brazil, and lots of gratitude for writing to IRIB English Radio. Regarding your request about sending QSL card, as you may know, this tradition is stopped temporarily on behalf of IRIB English Radio because of coronavirus pandemic. We will resume this job after the disease is controlled around the world. For the time being, wish you all the best. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best. From Sweden, we have an email from Olmar Kovic. Olmar Kovic is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, although your new year is at a different time, here are good wishes for the new year to you and the IRIB English Radio staff with thanks for your kind email. Our Christmas and New Year celebrations this time were harmonious and happy. Just my wife, Samka, our daughter, Arlinda, and myself together, we have got a small Christmas tree, also a goat made of straw, and some colored candles. Our Christmas food is not traditional for Sweden. It is rather varied with much vegetables. My memories from my childhood Christmases are still strong after 75 years. We were four in the family, Dad, Mom, my younger brother, and myself. We were poor, but still a happy family. I used the family radio for listening to the world from the age of 10. It was my keen interest, and it has stayed with me all these 75 years. The memories of the past are happy and sad at the same time. I am the only member of my childhood family still alive. My brother passed away 2 years ago, but I am happy in my new family with four children, five grandchildren, and a small newborn great-grandchild, but we are spread out around Sweden. Salam and greetings to you, Omar Kovic from Sweden. I do express my appreciation to you for this email, and also many thanks for sharing your sweet Christmas experience with us and our dear listeners around the world. As you said, we Iranians celebrate New Year with the beginning of the spring, and our celebrations are called Nowruz. Anyway, it was such great experiences, as you said, the way you celebrated Christmas and the New Year, and also your childhood experiences, which were really sweet. Thank you for that. Anyway, we wish you all the best. May 2021 bring love, peace, and joy for all people around the world. Omar Kovic from Sweden, write to us soon and tell us which programs in IRB English Radio you like the best. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Well, from England, we have an email from Patrick Travers. Patrick Travers is from England and says, "Dear friends at IRB English Radio, I found listening to your English broadcast this evening very interesting and enjoyable. I would be very interested in learning more about your broadcast, and I would welcome any information. Please, will you send a program schedule and pennant or any other publicity manual?" First of all, salam and greetings to you, Patrick Travers from England, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We are so glad that you just joined us in IRIB English Radio and you found the signals of IRIB English Radio in your country, England. And we are glad that you found our programs very interesting. As for your request about the program schedule, you can find our program schedule in our website with this address www.parstoday.com/en. There you can find any information that we broadcast in IRB English Radio. And also for your request regarding your request about sending pennant or other publicity manual, we in IRB English Radio, as for your information, we used to send our dear listeners such items in the past, but after the outbreak of coronavirus, this trend stopped, but we will resume it after the disease is controlled around the world. Anyway, many thanks for writing to IRB English Radio. Keep in touch with us and tell us which programs you like the best. Thank you again. We wish you all the best. Keep in touch. Patrick Travers from England. Dear listeners, time tells me that we have to skip the other section of our program, that is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Yes, my name is Chris Dampure. I live in Stevenage, Hertfordshire, the UK. I've been in Stevenage for about 40-odd years, and I've been a shortwave listener now for 61 years. I think you offer a very wide variety of programming on the short. It does give a very good insight into your society as such regarding your government and obviously what you feel about things in the world. And I think this is a very important thing. There's no point in having all one side, one voice shouting one thing and no one replying. And sometimes, as we know in the past, the biggest shout is sometimes giving wrong information and incorrect information, as we found in two world wars, particularly the Second World War. IRIB does give back, obviously, to your history of the country, particularly the history of the country and the culture, and also the tourism is wonderful sites to see in Iran. You did a series of previously on tourist sites in Iran, places to visit. These things are extremely interesting because no one else covers it. And on top of this, you do give a background to obviously the things you support and why. In particular case of Israel, this thing is obviously in the Western media, is dominated by the fact that the West is backed up by Zionist money in many respects. And this is where this does come to light. That's the reason why the people here are doing, as they say, as the owner says you do sort of thing. Whereas in Iran, you're saying, well, that's why you're doing the way you're doing it, because you've got so much backing from Zionist money. Yes, good listening to shortwave as what you're doing now. And on top of that, continue listening to IRIB and learn from what they say and also understand their views as well. And that, I think, is the point of shortwave. We listen to shortwave to find out more about what's going on in the world. And obviously some things we learn about are not what we knew already. And this is the problem, I think, that many people need to listen to shortwave more to understand what's going on in the world, around the whole world, not just one part of the world.
Dear listeners, before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I do express my condolences on the tragic martyrdom anniversary of the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
This is IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Alex Barsegian, CEO of a startup RoboEats, which began in Latvia and is now headquartered in Canada, said automated kitchen technology has been gaining interest in recent years, and that has been accelerated by the coronavirus pandemic. RoboEats is launching its artificial intelligence-powered autonomous robotic kitchen system that prepares, cooks, and serves an array of hot and cold food dishes, from soups to salads to meal bowls. The robotic system, designed for food services operations in corporate offices, campuses, and hospitals, as well as quick-serve restaurants, takes over some of the tedious food prep tasks while improving food safety and eliminating infection risks from crowded kitchens. In this regard, we have prepared for you an article written jointly by Rob Lever and Julie Jammet under the heading, Pandemic's Robot Heroes Highlight Their Value at Tech Show. This article was published by the France Press News Agency. Please stay to hear more. Robots that help people survive and stay safe over the past year are touting their value at the tech industry's annual extravaganza amid a pandemic, which has given fresh momentum to the robotic sector. The Consumer Electronics Show, CES, which is being held online this year due to the global crisis, includes robots that have become heroes for many during the coronavirus pandemic. Among those taking the virtual stage at CES are robot companies, cooks, delivery drones, medical assistants, and those handling the perilous task of sanitizing workplaces and medical facilities. Robot companies saw surging demand in recent months as pandemic lockdowns intensified problems of isolation, especially for people in senior living homes. Amid the strict virus lockdown in France, the companion robot, Cootie, became a star in senior facilities. Anthony Battelle, chief executive of Cootie, said, "The pandemic completely changed our business model," adding, "We had envisioned Cootie at people's homes, but today we are dealing with isolation on a collective level." The startup based in northern French city Robe delivered 30 robots for free to senior facilities during the lockdowns and used the experience to improve the technology and train its teams. Battelle said, "Everything worked well. Every 2 weeks, we would deliver software updates, which had to be done remotely. It's like what Tesla does." Kabuti, which combines elements of a telepresence robot with a small digital assistant, will be part of the show this year following its commercial launch in France and a marketing push in the United States. Kuti's head of U.S. operations, Richard Marshall, said the crisis has shown people need more than a smart assistant such as Google or Amazon Alexa. The robot was designed to allow family members to check in and also help people find activities such as yoga or Tai Chi classes, either in person or online. Marshall said the point of Kuti is to connect individuals to other people, adding, it is not an Alexa on wheels. Amazon Alexa, also known simply as Alexa, is a virtual assistant AI technology developed by Amazon, first used in the Amazon Echo Smart Speakers developed by Amazon Lab 126. It is capable of voice interaction, music playback, making to-do lists, setting alarms, streaming podcasts, playing audiobooks, and providing weather, traffic, sports, and other real-time information such as news. Wendy Moyle, a professor at Australia's Griffith University who specializes in research on the elderly, said studies have shown people may develop a strong relationship to companion robots. But Moyle said current technology for most robots is not sophisticated enough and that many people are disappointed after a while. Robots have taken on a new role in workplace and in medical facilities in era of social distancing. Misty Robotics, which produces a robot platform open to outside developers, last year launched its own temperature screening app for workplaces and medical facilities, which also working with partners, which can make the robot a companion or digital assistant. Misty Robotics Chief Executive Tim Enwall said the pandemic has made it easier for people to view robots as non-threatening and as friends. Enwall told AFP, the elderly don't have contact, and the elderly are certainly very afraid of viruses that can come from contact, and there is loneliness and isolation. Enwall added, in an office environment, robots like Misty can become a virtual concert, which eliminates the need for risky person-to-person contact. He said, the robot at the front door can do that at the same basic triage in a way that's very familiar to a lot of people. Adding, it's friendly, it's interactive, it's enjoyable. Meanwhile, several exhibitors, including South Korean giant LG, will be showing a new line of disinfecting robots, which have been in demand during the pandemic. LG's autonomous robot, which uses ultraviolet light to disinfect high-touch, high-traffic areas, is being launched this year to U.S. hotels, schools, corporate offices, retail and restaurant operators and transformation hubs such as airports and train stations. The companies are betting that demand for improved health and safety will continue even after the pandemic is continued. Alex Barsigian, CEO of a startup, RoboEats, which began in Latvia and is now headquartered in Canada, said automated kitchen technology has been gaining interest in recent years, and that has been accelerated by the pandemic. RoboEats is launching its artificial intelligence-powered autonomous robotic kitchen system that prepares, cooks, and serves an array of hot and cold food dishes from soups to salads to meal bowls. The robotic system designed for food services operations in corporate offices, campuses, and hospitals, as well as quick-serve restaurants, takes over some of the tedious food prep tasks while improving food safety and eliminating infection risks from crowded kitchens. Barsagayan said the idea of robotic food prep, which can cut food waste and labor costs, has gained traction as a result of the pandemic. He said, for a lot of restaurants, efficiency is important, adding, Every millimeter in the kitchen is measured. They didn't think about social distancing, so automating the kitchen really solves that problem. RoboEats plans to launch its own restaurant in Latvia this month as it markets its Turkey kitchen in North America. Even after the pandemic fades, Barsegian said he expects a continued focus on health and safety in kitchens, adding, "I don't think it will ever be the same again."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we have to send our condolences to the Imam of the time, the Imam who we believe at this moment in time is in Medina somewhere at the lonely grave of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. We send condolences and we ask the Imam to send our salutations and send our du'as to that lonely grave of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. This being the martyrdom and the day of the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. And we send our condolences, obviously, to all the Muslims, for she is somebody who is respected by all Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability that when the Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajhu sharif, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his reappearance, shows his physical self to us and we are able to see it, that he takes us to that grave and we are able to do the ziyarah of Bibi Zahra salamullah alayha, inshaAllah. On this being the martyrdom of this blessed lady, we mention a tradition that has been reported from her. It is said, or rather it is reported, that she has said that surely felicity or happiness, absolute felicity, and the hadith says kull as-sa'id, absolute, every bit of felicity, the right and the reality of felicity, the true felicity is for that person who loves Ali ibn Abi Talib. Man ahabba Aliyan, that person who loves Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam while he was alive, fi hayatihi. And the second thing is also important, wa ba'da mawtihi, and after his demise. That here we see that this tradition that has been narrated by a Sunni scholar in his book of Sharh of Nahj al-Balagha of Ibn Abd al-Hadid, who narrates this tradition, and also in other books it comes, that he narrates this tradition from Fatima al-Zahra salam ala alayha, that she is a martyr of wilaya. She gave everything she had so that the wilaya and the authority and the people recognize the authority of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Her tears that happened after the death of the Holy Prophet, according to some scholars, was because of what had happened to the Ummah and what will happen to the rest of the generations that will come because of denying the right of her husband. Not because he was her husband, because he was the rightful authority after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And she knew haq and she knew truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the visitation of this blessed lady, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ma'rifah and the true knowledge of this lady, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the shifa'ah and the tawassul of this blessed lady, inshaAllah. Fi dunya wal akhirah, in this world and hereafter, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
debate.
Hello and welcome.